So we're in the middle of our Hakdama, and the last thing we were discussing was Yerushalmi. Again, it's taking a little longer, as it sometimes does, but we'll try to move through all this in the next couple of days. The last thing we were discussing was the discussion on the Yerushalmi. You know, if there is a mitzvah lagarish, and it's based, as the Rambam holds, on the derech hagerushin, namely that you require, you know, a biksiva, as we've been discussing, so then the contrast to alternative, you know, what would have been an alternative and what actually either was Kodem Matan Torah or is, in the case of B'nai Noach, you know, that looms, you know, very large, because then we're not just, you know, abstractly speaking about the requirements of Gittin, and then, you know, that if that's all we had, we would have done that also, and then trying to explore what the implications are of, you know, these conditions. But actually we are, concretely contrasting, you know, get in the context of Ishus Yisrael with, you know, an alternative system, and not just the historically even, you know, an archaic, you know, old system that would have been interesting too, like the Rambam's, you know, Kodem Matan Torah Hayadam Pogea Isha Bishuk Ratzahu Ratztahi, etc., but an actual something that the halacha itself recognizes, as we discussed, and that is Ishus of Bnei Noach, and that becomes, you know, very important way to focus on what's unique about Kedushas Yisrael when it comes to Kedushim, when it comes to Gerush. So, in that context, I'm just so far reviewing, but I just wanted to add a point or two just to make something else clear. In that context, we look at the Yerushalmi in the beginning of Kiddushin, and we also noted that there's a machlokas among the Mefarshei HaYerushalmi, because Yerushalmis typically are more gnomic, with a G, G-N-O-M, and we also get English credit in this year, gnomic, meaning difficult to, you know, to fathom or to penetrate. Sometimes, you know, the Bavli was, as we know, was, you know, worked, you know, through by the Gaonim, and by, you know, we have Perushe HaGaonim and Pri Ashkenaz, and then, of course, you know, where would we be if not, you know, for Rashi, you know, and everything that came after. But the Yerushalmi, you know, is a much more difficult text. So there can be, that's why, you know, there's so much disagreement about what the Yerushalmis really mean, and, you know, what's a question, what's an answer. Our whole Mesorah, when it comes to Yerushalmi, including Mesorah of Kisteyad, is just, you know, more, you know, more speculative, and that, you know, that's a reality, you know, and it also sparks a certain creativity, like the Mefarshim who tried to bring order, you know, from chaos in the Yerushalmi. So, you know, there are two kind of phenomena that, you know, that exists side by side. One is, you know, since the Bavli was so much more dominant and so much more accessible, so there's a tendency, you know, by many Mefarshei HaYerushalmi to read the Yerushalmi in light of the Bavli, you know, with the added assumption that, you know, being memait b'machlokas, or the assumption that, you know, the Mesorah, you know, was common until we know that it wasn't. But then, of course, you know, you also have the side by side, this, you know, ear pool, you can call it, with an ayin, this kind of confusion or ambiguity in Yerushalmis, and that opens it up almost into being like a, you know, a free, you know, a free text. So the fact that the Yerushalmi has a line that, you know, according to one day, ein, you know, geirushin leben Noach, you know, you can imagine that that would have triggered, you know, two very different responses. You know, one response, which is, you know, we don't mean that, we mean that it's distinctive, that it's qualitatively different, you know. But of course there is an institution of Gerushin Lebnei Noach, and then to zero in on what makes it different, and the suggestion of Ksav could very well be the influence of the Rambam itself, by the way, meaning, interesting, you know, going backwards. You know, and that, of course, is one Perush. That was the Perush of the Korban Eidah. And then you have the, well, those who interpret Kipshuto, like the Pnei Moshe, which is that literally, Ein Gerushin you know, the Bnei Noach, and that any kind of Ishus is a permanent institution, not something, you know, which is unheard of, obviously. There are religions who actually hold that way, Catholicism. And again, that's what the Sefer HaChinuch was, you know, definitely making reference to that concept. And then maybe tomorrow we'll talk about, you know, the marital relationship, you know, which is on a Hashkafa level, obviously, but, you know, the symbolism of using similar phraseology, but, you know, the relationship between the Ribbono Shel Olam and Knesset Yisrael really is a permanent relationship in that sense. So that this is kind of the background that we were discussing. What I wanted to add to it was, so what I was trying to explain was, number one, both of those views. Number two, the fact that the Rambam seems to, you know, combine, you know, two points. There's a day in the Yerushalmi. The second day in the Yerushalmi says that what's unique about Gerushin of Bnei Noach is that it is, you know, an equal opportunity institution. It can be initiated either by the Baal or by the Isha. And that, of course, is not true. Daraisa, in a, well, it's not even true, Drabanan, on a get, you know, in the context of Kedushas Yisrael, right, the Maisa Gerushin is always initiated by the husband. So the Rambam, as we noted, seems to combine both of these elements. When he talks about the uniqueness of Benoach, he starts with the fact that it is Ish or Isha, and then Agav, not Agav because it's in the same sentence, but from there he transitions into mentioning that, you know, there's a connection between, you know, who can initiate the Gerushin and whether the Gerushin is also verbal, Balpeh, or only Biksav. And, you know, some of the Mefarshim on the Rambam ask, like, you know, where did he get it from? So in the Shiarei HaKorban, which is the, like, expanded Perush of the Korban Eda, you know, he actually, I think I copied it into my phone here for a second, he actually asked this question, just to get it on the record, how does the Rambam take, you know, what from his point of view are both Deos and the Yerushalmi? In other words, Pasha, so the Yerushalmi is a Machlokes, right? Is it this or is that Ein Get with Ben Noach, or the uniqueness of Ben Noach is the fact that the woman can initiate the Get as well as the man? So for the Korban Eda, since Ein Get Le Yisrael, Ein Get Le Ben Noach means that you need a ksav, right? So basically these are the two deos, and that's why Lashitaso, he was disturbed. It's up there? Everybody's looking? Okay, great. So that's why he was disturbed by, you know, by this possibility. And that's what he says. Yeah, Kosam Rambam, right? Adkan, Vikasha, right? Ech tapas divrei shneim, right? She'en lan gerishim v'shneim begarishim ze'ezeh. Rabbi Yochanan lo kamar haki, el achas mishteim, o she'en lan gerishim, o she'shneim begarishim, right, ze'ezeh. And the ein lan gerishim, right, according, he just doesn't mention here, but l'shitaso, is exactly, you know, the tzav. Nearly time of the read, the kamar haki can destapek, Mishum, right, the diek lebi brisa, the, you know, Yochanan or Hananya, I think, the lodamion gerishim didula didan, the lokain, nigzar, the kach tzar chlomar o, right, the lo dimein shenglen gerishim diksav, o sheshnei megarshim zez, v'lo osi lachlufa b'yisrael, I'll explain what that means in a minute, imkei divar rambam tzarchim. It's a good foil for what we were trying to explain, meaning from his point of view, the two days of the Yerushalmi are both accepted by the Rambam, and the question is, why? Okay. And I was trying to explain that Rambam sees, you know, these as not necessarily the two dayas in the Yerushalmi, maybe he held, you know, that the other daya is like the Pnei Moshe reads it, Kipshuto, in other words, and you're not, you know, and that is that there's no get at all. And by the way, I should have added the other day, but I did tell you to look at Omar Makomos, and then some of you mentioned to me afterwards that the Chidush Aran in Sanhedrin seems to embrace the view that there's no get at all, meaning the, you know, the way that the Pnei Moshe, you know, later read it, Kipshuto, that there's no get whatsoever. So it's very possible that the Rambam read the Yerushalmi that way too, and just understood, you know, that, you know, maybe we don't paskin that way. We paskin like the other perspective, namely that the isha can initiate, you know, geirushin just as a man can, but that conceptually, you know, he understood that that would not have been true, or that wouldn't be consistent if the requirement, you know, for get was dafka biksat. Now, you know, what is the two? What is, you know, one thing have to do with the other? So this again goes back to what we were discussing, and that is, you know, for the Rambam l'shitaso to think that the mitzvah of lagarish has nothing to do with you know, the relationship, unlike quite a few other rishonim. I mean, it's not about you know, a situation of matzah ba'er bas davar, or, you know, in a very different vein, you know, what we're calling, you know, we'll get back to a get me'ava, where, you know, he's being megarisher to, you know, save her, you know, from some circumstance, you know, whether it's yibum or potential aguda, because he's halach l'mukhama. You know, Ram doesn't understand, again, he uses the words mitzvah and iser, as we've noted, and we'll get back to it still, in, you know, Perek Yud of Hilchos Geirushin, Halakha Chaf Aleph, Chaf Beis, etc. But clearly, in the Koteret and Minina Mitzvos, and right in the beginning of Hilchos Geirushin, for the Rambam, that's not the mitzvah in the Minyan Taryag, that's not the Doraisa mitzvah of Geirushin. The Doraisa mitzvah of Geirushin is Ksav. So the idea that, you know, it's, you know, based on his reading of the Yerushalmi, the absence of Ksav, you know, for a Ben Noach, you know, is not Mefurash. You know, that's his Chiddush. That's part of his understanding. And that's also what differentiates, that's also what determines that there's a mitzvah in Geirushin. When you put those two things together, they really are two sides of the same coin. So the Shiari HaKarban's question, and the question of other Nosa Kalim on the Rambam, later ones, you know, Minayin Lo, this particular edition, you know, that's not so different than the way he's asking it. Like, how can you quote both shitas? It sounds like there's a machlokas. So that's number one. I just wanted to make that clearer, if it wasn't. Just to add one other point that a number of you asked me about, and that is that, like, what does, you know, the initiation of the get by, you know, the husband or the wife, what does that have to do with other things? So in addition to, of course, being just a point that distinguishes, I'm obviously reconstructing. In other words, I'm not suggesting that all these have to have been connected, or that you have to even interpret certain requirements or factors in Gittin, you know, the way that we're interpreting it. Obviously, I'm trying to work backwards, you know, from the evidence to understand things, you know, from within. But I think that it's very, you know, probable, or it's intelligent speculation at least, to think that, you know, the Rambam thinks that the, you know, requirement of the husband to initiate the get, as opposed to either one being able to do it, you know, is an indication that you need a matir. And that it isn't simply, you know, like a typical, like a regular kinyan in Dine Mamanas always, you know, requires two. And again, last year we learned about Master, we talked about, you know, shutfus and the ability to break it up, you know, all things being equal, if it's not something that's a Bokadei Kavuka. So what I'm suggesting is that the Rambam understood that Geirushin Biksav Dafka and no other method, you know, and not even the gimel of, you know, Kiddushin. And the fact that, you know, the Mekadesh has to be the Megaresh, that the Yotzer HaChalos, you know, has to be the one who's Mafkia the Chalos, or is Matil a different shame on the Isha, you know, shame Grusha, if you want to call it, if there is such a thing, you know, that simply isn't, you know, that's more than simply the unraveling or the undoing, or just not easy, or you can't really unravel and simply undo the ishus, that requires, you know, the bailim on the ishus itself, and that it isn't a typical kinyan, which is a consensus of the two parties. I think that makes a great deal of sense. The requirement of extra das in Geirushin, something we'll talk a lot about, going forward. And one of the 10 requirements of the Rambam in Perek Aleph Hilchos Geirushin obviously fits into that perspective as well. Yeah, Josh.
Why does the Rebbe want to say that the Rambam is just passing away both because it's one shita?
Say that again?
Why is Rebbe avoiding saying that the Rambam is passing like both because it's really just one?
I mean, it sounds in the Yerushalmi like it's two deos, doesn't it?
Because it says O.
I thought it said. I thought it's two different.
Shaira Carbon's asking, I think, something simpler. It seems like within the first day of the Yerushalmi, it sounds like a suffix. So the Rambam can't quote both sides of the suffix.
Okay.
But it's all within one day.
It's one, meaning it's one or the other.
Within one
day. Okay, the same thing. It doesn't matter. I mean, that doesn't matter. Whether it's one or the other, or it's two.
Because textually, it's much harder to read it differently.
Okay. Right. Same in terms of the. In terms of the question, it's the same. In terms of the question he's asking, which is, the Rambam isn't just recording the Yerushalmi, he's assuming that both of these things can coexist, both of these things are true, and it doesn't sound that way. It sounds like it's, I was saying a machlok, because you're saying, it sounds like it's either or. And the Yerushalmi is a mistapek, which one? I understand. Yeah. Okay. It's not both, is what I'm trying to say. As long as it's not both, then the Rambam is... taking, a bit of a step. Good. So that's what I want to say. Now, the other thing that he makes reference to, I wanted to get back to. So the other thing that I, if you can just wait for the questions for one more minute, and then I'll take them all. The other thing is, I was also discussing the Hemshech of the Yerushalmi, where the Yerushalmi says, oh, the proof that there's no, get, for a Benoach, is the fact that there doesn't seem to be an Iser Masu Kushaso la'achar, Hageus. And I was, pointing out, what? What is that? So, two things. And what I was trying to suggest, what is that on two levels? Number one, what Abdi Gershon is Gair Kakatan Shinola Dami. Even if there was, a full... get for a Ben Noach, he's not related to any of his relatives, so why would there be Masa Grushaso of all things? So just on that factually, so the Pnei Moshe and his reading of that Hemshech, somehow thinks that's the answer. That's what the Yerushalmi is trying to say. But I don't think it helps at all. You have it there. Akiva, looks like you've seen it. The Pnei Mesh, Pnei Mesh. He says that's what the proof is, that we don't, we say Gershon is Geyer, Gekatan Shinola Dami, and the Get Shanasa Begiyusan doesn't matter. Correct? You have it? Or is it back up there?
Yeah,
again?
He says,
Another one's like, lightning fast. What's that? Go.
The Gershon is Geyer, Gekatan Shinola Dami, the Gerushay Begiyusan, Lav Gershon.
Yeah. So you would think that's not a proof that there's no get leben noach, right? That's just a din, that applies in any case of gerus. Namely, gerus is a new beginning. Katan shenola dami. Again, so this just reinforces. Again, it's a strange reading, of the Yerushalmi, but in my opinion, it only makes sense according to what I was. You have to add a piece, and the piece that you have to add is what I suggested. On Thursday, namely, whether you say on this issue Gershon Skyer Kakaton Shinola Dami itself, that gufa depends on the continuity between pre and post Ben Noach Ishus and Gershon. In other words, the more we think that there is a strong parallel, as reflected by details between the two. The more reasonable, it would be, to say, just like we say in certain other things, that there's no Gershon Iskar and Katan Shinola. I gave the, a few examples. Talk about Kirin Marivia in the Gemara, about Bechor, about Yerusha. I mentioned the discussion of the Rishonim in Ksuvas about the Iser Laboel. But again, that's very upfront in the Pnei Yoshua, in the Pnei Moshe, sorry. Get to Pnei Yeshua later, but he Right. I think you have to add that ha'ara, otherwise it doesn't make, you know, the problem, you know, shouldn't be the solution, you know, unless you take this perspective. Yeah.
According to the Pnei Moshe, though, why would I need Gershon Iskayer? If the difference for the Pnei Moshe is in having Gershon Klal, then what's the Havamina and his master?
So I think, does he say that this is only according to that? This is a little bit what Baruch was asking the other day, right, about... It should, but I think what Baruch was asking, like, a little more sharply, and that is that if you hold that there's no gerus, I'm sorry, if you know there's no gerushin at all, so it should be, you know, maxi or sotaso, not maxi or kuchas, right? Isn't that what you're asking? What I was trying to answer was, you know, in Achanami on one level, but, you know, the idea is the same idea, meaning, you know, and again, then the comparison to the Isur Leboel and the discussion of the, you know, Ritva and the Shita Mekubetzes in Ksuvos, you know, is even better, you know, because what we're saying is, yeah, the fact that there's no Gerushin, you know, is an indication that the whole way that we look at the Ishus is different, you know, and for the same reason there's no Masu Grushasa, there's no, you know, there's no Sota. Why would you ask for Masu Grushasa and not from Sota? That's a good question. I think the answer is because it's in the psukim, anyways. You know, it's the same. You know, it's either the same pasuk or the emphasis is on masu grushasa. That's number one. But I think also if you pay close attention to Pnei Moshe, I don't have it in front of me in the moment, but it's up there. So my impression is that he thinks that the question is mostly, you know, according to the other mandamar, that it's the initiation, that even the isha has the initiative. But I'm comfortable, this is a little bit Eitan was asking me also the other day, I think that Bar's question is a very good question. I'm like, I don't, and I think, you know, either way it's a question. Like, you know, well, why isn't there? Just as Yerushalmi is weighing that there would have been a Matsu Grishaso, you know, wouldn't there even be a more acute, you know, Sota? So my answer is the same, basically, to both of them. But I did want to mention that the Karban Ha'eda himself, just to be fair about it all, who understands the whole thing in terms of ksav, you know, haget, right? So certainly you can ask the question according to both mandam. Was I right about Pnei Moshe that he emphasizes more?
Above, he talks about Ilonasati Torah Skirshin Zeba Akum, Elishnamagashin Zeba.
Yeah.
In between the question of Yerushalmi, was in Rechanina, Kamakal Aparshim Lafi Sid Hashem Tzvakos, Shuachol Olam Kulo, Kaim Sid Elokei Yisrael, Lam Dachash, Lichu. So immediately before we bring the case of the Giyur,
right,
he mentions that there's no Gerushin Ba'akum Kla. So it seems like he's reading...
On both?
It could either be on both or only on the one most recently mentioned, which would be in Gerushin Kla.
Oh, you're saying it's not that way. I looked at it again. I thought it was a little bit different. But yeah, so then I stand... Either way, I stand with what I'm saying, but I think it's a good point. It's a little bit what Baruch was asking the other day, where we're integrating both ways of asking the question, put it that way. For the Korban Ha'eda way, you know, that question doesn't get off the ground, because either way there's Gerush and Libben Noach, right, and the question is, you know, Maksu Kushoso, and I'm totally happy with the answer both ways. However, I just did want to, you know, add for factual, when I was looking at it again, that he obviously was troubled by the Gershon Iskayer Kakata Chinola, doesn't think that that is the answer, so that, you know, he, again, you know, you sometimes have to do this when you're writing a Perush on a difficult text, so, you know, so he basically interpolates, you know, into the whole, you know, Shakla Vitaria, what he thinks is, you know, necessary to make it possible, and that is that the question is not Doraisa, that there should be a violation of Matsu Grushaso, you know, and it doesn't say why he does this, but it's obvious to me that that's because Gershon Iskayer Kakata Chinola, so what are you even talking about? And not like the Pnei Moshe and my Hesber, but more like, aren't you worried, Shay, you know, that Osi Lechlufe, you know, the, you have the line, like, if you have it? Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, Rusha, what about any Kore, but you have
Yeah, it doesn't sound that way in the Yerushalmi, but, you know, he's saying, listen, there can't be anything else, you know, because you've eliminated the impossible, you know, and therefore all that remains, no matter how improbable, is the truth, right? And therefore, it's got to be like a Gzeira Drabanan. Why isn't there a Gzeira Drabanan is the question. And the answer is, there's no Gzeira Drabanan because no one's going to mistake, you know, that get for this get. Right. Now, do I? Now, I understand why you would read that way. I still don't think, and I'm a little bit biased, you know, because I'm very excited about this Yerushalmi, and obviously I'm very convinced of this, you know, general idea. But I do think it's fair to say, like, just because there are some technical differences between, you know, the get of a Ben Noach and the get of Yisrael, you wouldn't look at the, and you're already choshesh, you know, shema, you know, yavo lechlufei, so you would zero in on those technical differences, you know, and you would no longer be nadim kvar azkvar. If you're really worried, you know, sheyavo leyachlufei, you know, is the fact that, you know, this is biksav and that's balpeh, you know, is that reason enough not to? I don't know the answer. What I'm saying, you might say, yes, you know, there are differences, so no one's going to make the equation. Equally, you might say, you know, the principle of maksi grushaso is, you know, the yesod is Masa Grushaso, whatever it means. If the details are a little more lax or a little more appropriate, you know, to its context, you know, there's still a bigger common denominator. And if you're already being Choshesh Lachlufei, you should be Choshesh Lachlufei. So either way, if that second point is more true than the first point, which personally I would think that it is, so then, you know, on a Drabanan level, you still would read the Yerushalmi the same way. Meaning, what we're saying is the difference between a get b'ksav and a get, you know, bal peh is not, you know, a technical detail. It is a perspective on, you know, how you look at Geirushin, you know, in a bigger way. And as such, you know, it's lo asu lachlufei. Okay, but just to be clear, you know, he obviously, you know, didn't want to read the Rosh Hashanah Kepshuto, and I think it's pretty clear because of Geirushin's got. Joshua, want to say something? Yeah. I'm saying that the lack of continuity is a reason to say Kakatan Shinoa Dami, correct. Meaning that if it was, if Bnei Noach had a din of Ishus that was comparable to Yisrael, comparable enough to Yisrael, then some of the limitations, you know, would apply in the same way that some other limitations, you know, you can't erase past history, you know, where there's a universalistic, you know, aspect, you know, and you're trying to be kind of makil, you know, through the Geirus. Geirus is not a, you know, vehicle, you know, to make your life easier, you know, or to hide from your past. You know, Geirus is a true transformation. Now, of course, I'm not suggesting, you know, that any time. Now, again, Lemaisa, it's still, you know, Robert was married to Samantha. Is that who they were? Right? You know, and now Reuven, you know, wants to marry Sarah. You know, had it been Reuven and Sarah, you know, to begin with, then there would be an Isur Machsu Grishasa. You know, and since it was, you know, Robert and Samantha, and it's only now Reuven and Sarah, so Lemaisa, we're allowing them to get married. So if there is a kula, you know, it's like the Gemara's in, you know, in Sanhedrin, and the, you know, the main sugis of a Benoch, Nun Hei, Nun Vav, you know, Ikin Midam, is there anything where we find that, like, you know, Benoch, you know, we're more, you know, makel for member of Klal Yisrael than we are for, you know, Benoch? Yeah, the answer is, you know, usually, you know, the standards are lower, you know, and sometimes they're, you know, because you have to take holistically the whole thing, you know, as a thing. So yes, that's but what I'm
so
saying.
So Aaron was saying that the Ishus of the Ben Noach are different than the Ishus of Israel, therefore there's no continuity, and then you should say Kashan Shal Dalmi even more. So how would that answer the question? How would that be a riot for Yushalmi?
I thought Yushalmi saying, had there been a Geirushin in Ben Noach, right, like there is for Yisrael, then we would have applied, let's say at the Raisa level even, let's forget the Korban Eidah for the moment, we would have applied the din of Maski Grishaso. Because we would have said that the principle of Kakatan Shinola Dami doesn't apply when you have, you know, common, you know, Isurim. Just like, you know, if you commit a crime as a Ben Noach, you can't, you know, your gayers isn't going to say it. You know, or again, some of these other things. Kamash Malan, that the gap is, the qualitative gap is so great, you know, that, you know, what happened previously is totally irrelevant here. Is that a problem? Is that, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Did you have a question on that, or are you just clarifying it?
I thought Rebbe was saying that the fact that there's no continuity would mean you should say Katan Chinola Adami even more, and then how would that be a
yeah.
raya? So then shouldn't we say Katan Chinola Adami, and therefore it's not a raya that non-Jews don't...
We're saying, according to the Pei Moshe, we're saying Katan Chinola. Now, let me say this way. I'm trying to explain two different things, but in the same way. I'm trying to explain how the Pnei Moshe thinks that's an answer of Kekatan Shinola Dami. Like, you know, that's not, if it's Kekatan Shinola Dami, that doesn't prove, if you take literally Kekatan Shinola Dami, then how does that prove that Ain, so I'm trying, that's what I'm trying to explain now. I think now I understand your question. Previously, I was trying to explain why isn't there a problem of Kekatan Shinola Dami here? You know, which makes the whole thing moot. There I wasn't explaining that's the point in the Yerushalmi. What I was saying was, you know, these two things are tolui, you know, one, you know, in the other. Namely, there would have been a Kekatan Shinola Dami, only, but there's like a certain, like a catch-22. There's only going to be Kekatan Shinolad, you know, if there's discontinuity between these institutions. You know, so what we need to figure out is, so the Havamina was that that's exactly what the Yerushalmi is wondering about. The Yerushalmi is saying, they're not saying like, you know, just technically. They're saying like, is the Gittin of a Ben Noach in the same Parsha as the Gittin of a member of Klal Yisrael? The answer is, you know, if there was, there'd be Matsu Grushaso. And there's not. So obviously it's not considered Matsu Grushaso. I was asking, forget about all that. What happened to Kekatan Shinola Dami? And I was saying, the Mimanavshach. If you think that it is Matsu Grushaso, then you wouldn't apply Kekatan Shinola Dami. Since you think, you know, that it's not, you know.
Meaning, Lemaisa, there is Kekatan Shinola, but we don't need to say that because.
Correct. But it ends up, so these are just, it's like two different. The Pei Moshe himself zeroed in on that thing, and so I was trying to explain. In a way, his is even more inexplicable because what's Yerushalmi even talking about? But based on what I was saying, it's kind of implicit. Okay, I hope we're not confusing everybody. Okay, go. Good. So now let's get back to the question of, you know, mitzvah. Let's say, so we have several categories. I haven't finished this Tuesday, but chova, mitzvah, rishus, iser. Okay, basically. Right, the language of the Gemara here, Kov. Again, we'll get back to actually Baruch made a correct point about the Rosh. We'll get back to that also, if not today, then next year. But the Gemara does speak a language of, you know, chiyuv legarish. Question: what exactly does that mean? A mitzvah legarish. We have that law shown, you know, as well. And it also, you know, we talk about an iser legarish or a rasha or a sanui. So, you know, what we need to try to figure out is, you know, what comes under the rubric of each of these categories. Let's say chova, mitzvah, iser, you know, and rishus. To make it more complicated, but we don't want to spend forever on this, we just want to understand what the categories are. There's also this, you know, question, you know, whether or not, you know, when we talk about, let's say, Iser or Mitzvah, or Chova, but especially Iser and Mitzvah, whether we mean it, you know, in a, what I've been calling in a Hilchos Deos kind of a way, meaning we mean it's not a Rishus, meaning this is relevant to a person's status, you know, as an Oved Hashem. There are Lechatchilas, and there are B'dievets, and there are, you know, preferences, you know, things that are Ratzui, things that are not Ratzui. Is that what we mean, and that's all that we mean here? Or do we really mean from a, like an internal Geirushin, you know, point of view? And especially, you know, if we're going to be Mone you know, in the Taryag Mitzvos, you know, a mitzvah lagareish, you know, then we're not just talking about, you know, this is a better way for a Ben Torah or an Oved Hashem, you know, to conduct himself. We're talking about, you know, something much more, you know, specific. So the point is that linguistically, when the Gemara uses the expression chova or mitzvah or iser, you know, in Shas, you know, of course there are many, many instances where that is meant, you know, in a much broader way. You call it in a, we'll call it a sedeos kind of way. You call it an Eitz HaTova. But Eitz HaTova doesn't have, you know, the connotation of neutrality. Like, oh, this is a, you know, it doesn't mean, like, from an efficiency or pragmatic, you know, point of view. Some Eitzos are pragmatic, and many Eitzos are, you know, what I'm calling Hilchos Deos Halacha. So when we use those terms, like, you know, Chiyuv, and especially Mitzvah and Iser, or we use a term like Ra, or Russia, if you do, or Sonui, Lamakom, etc., you know, are we speaking in broader terms, or are we speaking, you know, very specifically? So these are questions to ask. We're not going to be able to pin down everything, but these are questions to ask. Even the question of chova, you know, what do we mean by chova? Right? As I mentioned, this is a question in general. You know, what is the relationship between the chiyuv legaresh, you know, and the iser, you know, isurei lav, like in the context of a marriage. Let's say a kohen marries a grusha, a kohen gadol marries an almana, you know, whatever, or it could be, you know, lo yavo mamzer bekalasha, or isurei bia generally, right? What is the status with regard to geisha? So sometimes the Gemara uses the expression, you know, that there's a chiyuv legaresh. So is that really a chiyuv legaresh? Or is that, you know, a way, you know, or the, you know, a way of securing, you know, that a person will, you know, be nizhar, you know, in the isar. As I said a couple days ago, let's say a person, you know, for whatever reason, you know, maybe there are children involved, whatever, let's say the person wants to maintain formally the marriage, you know, even though there's isurei bia. Is that daraisa? Is there such a requirement of geirushin? That's a very unclear, you know, proposition. Certainly on the level of mitzvah and isur, you know, this is a question. Okay. So these are things that we need to pin down. Even if we speak about, you know, the chova cases would be cases where there's yisurei bia, and it's the question that I just asked. Also, you wonder whether there would be a difference between something like chayv elabin, you know, and sota, for example, for two different reasons. Because chayv elabin, typically, or at least the chayv elabin of yisurei ishus, like, you know, grusha lekohen, amar lekohen gadol, you know, things of that sort, are all prior to the, you know, are typically prior to the ishus. Right. So it was an ishus, you know, which with an isurei bia. The question of whether that constitutes a lav, you know, I mentioned the other day that Sefer Chinuch holds that, you know, even chayve krisus, you know, there's some sort of an iser. Right. Not a lav, you know, but an iser, you know, which assumes, you know, either or probably both, that there's some sort of a maisa kiddushin in those cases, even though it's not chal. Somebody asked me about intermarriage, you know, where that's worse. It could be it's worse. It could be that certain things are just so mufka that there's not even a maisa geirushin, a maisa kiddushin. But Sefer Chinuch does have this idea, which the Minchas Chinuch is very troubled by, and which definitely is not true for the Rambam. I mean, the Rambam, he talks about being mekadesh, Isurei erva or chai bekrisus, just says, you know, it's totally not chal. It just doesn't register at all. Within chai bekrisus, within lack of tfisas kedushin, there might be a difference between like chai bekrisus, but where there's kedushas isra. Or, you know, los ischatein and things like that, you know, where, you know, it's like, you know, mufka legamri. There's another debate among Rishonim, and that is, is there an Iser kiddushin, you know, for certain kavilah, especially, you know, isurei kahuna, like if a kohen marries a grusha, you know, kidesh velo baal, basically. And in general, we'll talk about this in Matzah Grushaso a little more. We still have to discuss that. But I already made, I think, reference to it. The sugya at the end of Asar Yochsin in Kiddushin discusses this, and some sugyas in Yavamos. And this is a very interesting, broader question, right? Where you have Yisurei Bia or Chayvei Lavin, you know, what about Kidesh Velo Baal? Is there some sort of a violation? And if it isn't a, you know, is, you know, you violate the lav already in Kiddushin, or at least partially violate the lav? I'm talking about Doraisa. Obviously, you're not supposed to do it, that's clear. But I'm talking about whether you violate a din Doraisa or not. Kiddush Velo Baal, what about Baal Velo Kiddush? And when do you need Kiddush, you know, Ubaal? And are there differences between different Chayvei Lavin, or are they all in the same basket? Like the Rambam typically, you know, requires Kiddush Ubaal. You know, one of the things I wanted you to look at is, I'm not so sure in Sefer Mitzvos whether he holds that way about Matzah Grushasa, frankly, or Mamzer, but he definitely holds that way in Yad HaChazaka. He has a famous tshuva to the Chachmei Luniel, where he expands on this, which we'll look at. That's quoted in the Kesef Mishnah, Perek Tesvav, Hilchos Yisurei Bia Halacha Aleph. The Ramban, you know, takes issue with part of it. And the Ramban himself weighs in on the question, like, you know, maybe Matzah Grushaso is different. Do you need also, that's, but the Ramban mostly critiques, let's say you have, you know, Baal Velo Kiddush. The question in Matzah Grushaso and maybe in Mamzer, Mamzer Lo Yavo Bekal Hashem, Parsha, you know, and a Matzah Grushaso, is like, you know, what would there be some sort of Iser if there was, you know, Kiddushin Belibi? The Ramban is mostly saying, what about, you know, Baal Velo Kiddush? Okay. Anyway, so we'll get back to that. But that's, you know, part, that's one kind of question where, you know, the Chayvei Lavin or the Iser has to do, you know, exist prior to the relationship. So that separate question I'm putting out there, and we're going to get back to in Matzah Grushaso a little bit. But, you know, the bigger point I'm trying to make is, the relationship vis-a-vis a chiyuv or mitzvah legaresh in cases like that, as opposed to a case like Sota, where the kiddushin was kedasu kedin, right? On the contrary, if there was no kiddushin, there would be no begida, right? It wouldn't be mo'al bo mo'al, it would be mo'meila. So the Isur Sota is, of course, you know, after the Ishus. Is in both cases, you know, there's an Isur, you know, bia going forward. You know, what about, you know, the propriety, you know, of staying in the marriage, you know, albeit with the Isurei Bia in those cases? And the differences are on two directions. One, as I mentioned before, whether there was an Isur prior or only after, that might seem to make, you know, Isurei, you know, Kahuna, or whatever, or Mamzer, or, you know, Isurei Kahal, whatever you want to call it, Yuchsin, etc., you know, worse, in a sense, than Sota. You know, you have no business getting married to begin with. Maybe that's more of a reason why you're obligated to get divorced. On the other hand, you know, as we can all understand, the Isur Sota, precisely because it is in the context of the marriage, and that's, you know, that's an understatement. It's not just in the context of the marriage. The whole point of it is that it's, you know, the savaging, you know, it's the undermining of the marriage. So the idea that that's, you know, namely, you married a mamzer, you married a, you know, a grusha, you know, that's one thing, you know, but, you know, in the context of the destruction of the Kedusha Sa'isha, Sa'idei Sota, you know, that's where kind of the Beis Shammai like comes into play. You know, what about that? So, you know, which one of these is worse as far as, you know, there being a Doraisa Chova, not just in the Surei Bia and a, you know, Eitz HaTova or Drabanan, you know, probably requirement, you know, of divorce. By the same token, and this, of course, you know, is makes very interesting some of the makoros that we already saw. Right, Beis Shammai says, "Matzuba erva zvacha." Who? Maybe I'll skip right, go right, zero in on Beis Shammai. So Beis Shammai says, "Matzuba erva zvacha," and you know, but pashtus, you know, that means, you know, sota. Whether it also means, you know, matzuba kiur, in other words, general, you know, behavior that's, you know, not technically erbas davar, but, you know, is in, you know, the realm, again, of being, like, incompatible with Kedusha Sa'ishus, that we'll get to in just a moment. But the idea that there might be a mitzvah legaresh, according to Beis Shammai, you know, and in that context, which some Rishonim, of course, you know, say, makes a lot of sense. However, what was interesting about the Rishonim that we already saw, you know, namely the Ribosh, you know, the Rajba, you know, the Abudram, you know, and there are more. What was interesting about them is that when they were trying to explain, you know, mitzvah legaresh, their first case was not, you know, matzah by erbas davar. It was actually chai v'lavin. Right? They understood, and this goes to, you know, technically what I spoke of before, but also an interesting question, hierarchy. They understood that the mitzvah legaresh, you know, was chai v'lavin. Kol shekein, you know, because they didn't have the right to get married to begin with, you know, or not kol shekein, maybe huadin, you know, or you know, lo zu abzu, I'm not sure, in the hierarchy. But I think it's an interesting question, and it's interesting that you have that phenomenon. Of course, when the Rishonim expanded it even more, we noted that this was mechudash, but it's like doubly mechudash. Namely, in the Abudram formulation of Rabbi Yosef, even Palatz Tshuva, where the extension was to, like, you know, Shasa, Imo, you know, Eser Shanim, you know, they didn't have children. So then there's no wrongdoing, of course. So that's even, you know, a step, you know, beyond. Is there a reason to get divorced in that case, you know, because of, you know, the Mechayim of Piri Verivya? That's all very understandable. But obviously there's no, you know, wrongdoing from anybody's side. Never mind, there's no savaging of the marriage, right? There's no Chai Ve'Lavin, you know, it's just, so to draw the line, now again, the you know, in the, in that, you know, context, right, the added suggestion was made, maybe in Ochanani, maybe that's not, you know, mitzvah legaresh. But it wasn't because in order to qualify as mitzvah legaresh, it has to be something which is pogeya the ishus, or at least, you know, is some sort of a, you know, chai v'lavin. It was more on the line of, like, you know, oh, maybe the medical issue, you know, is actually his. So, you know, kame shmaya galya, that, you know, really, really, you know, if we knew what the Ribbono Shel Olam knew, you know, just like if we could run, you know, medical tests, if we, you know, had that level of expertise in that time, you know, we would know that this is not a good thing to do. That's different than saying, how can you compare, you know, Erva Zdavar or Chai Ve'Lavin? We're saying, in Ochanami, if there's an understandable and even an ishus, you know, nimuk to, you know, to get divorced, name of the shame, period of Arabia, you know, that's good. As long as we were certain, you know, that this was really what was going on here. And that, I thought, was very mechudash, that we would care, and that's mimanafshach. You know, it's not, there's certainly no, you know, frivolous or flighty, or, you know, there's no iser. You know, that part is clear. Whether this qualifies, I would have thought, you know, whether it qualifies as a mitzvah, given that there's no chai ve'lavin and there's certainly no sota, is questionable. That it should depend, you know, on objectively, but, you know, beyond in those days at least, our access of knowledge, you know, and whether or not this is going to, you know, facilitate Piri Verivya or not, very mechudash. It puts the, you know, emphasis more on, you know, You know, is there an objective, positive reason? Now, again, how much period of Arivia also would be a reason, in terms of the Isha's part, that this is another interesting side issue. I mean, I think we can all understand that that's an internal reason. But does that depend a little bit on the general relationship between, you know, whether the mitzvahs erusin, v'davak b'ishto and all of that, you know, how closely connected that is to, you know, to period of Arivia? According to the Rush, Udi'imei, you know, who think that, you know, Kiddushin isn't even, you know, maybe a mitzvah b'pnei atzmo, but it's at least, or is it, if it's a mitzvah, it's b'toras heksher, period of Arivia, something like that. So the idea that, you know, period of Arivia drives also grounds for divorce is easier to understand. I don't think it's all about Talia. You know, I just talk about it in the hierarchy. But even according to the Rambam, who thinks that, Likuchin's and Mitzvah Saseh is totally independent from period of Arivia, I always like to point out that, the language of the Rambam in the Koteret in Hilchos Ishus, you know, also links period of Arivia to Ishus. You know. Not just because they're both mitzvos in Hilchos Ishus, but if, what is it, Lifros Velirvos Ba, Mimena, sorry. Same thing, but right, Mimena. And I think I pointed out when we learned Kiddushin some years ago. When was that? Was it 5 years ago? 6 years ago? When did we learn Kiddushin? Were you there?
What?
You were there.
What?
Kiddushin?
That's 6 years ago.
6 years ago? Wow. So, are you the only person who was there? You're looking, I was there. I don't remember a thing.
The walls are there.
What?
The walls in the back.
Okay. So Lifra, I think I pointed out then also, so you should be responsible for this. What's the other eye in the Rambam?
The other one is that he puts it in the positions at the end.
No, but when he speaks about Ona, he sees the mitzvah of Ona is being related to the Kiddushin. The Rambam. So there are rias, and Tziv speaks about this in particularly in in his Parish on the Shildos. Tziv speaks about this. So my point is that even according to the Rambam, and it's obvious, obviously period of Arivia and Ishus are connected. But how connected they are, and whether that would be that would not forget about grounds, probably is ground, but that would engender like a mitzvah lagareish. I think is something to be thinking about, in that sense. Would you go further? So basically, what I'm saying so far is, A, on the chova level, we need to know whether the chova is really a chova, or the chova is a way of, protecting, against isurei bia. Number one. Number two, if we have like a standard, whether it's limiting Gerushin, or it is when it would be a mitzvah, if that's, what is the relationship between, as I say, Chai Bei Lavin generally, the Iser Sota, and something, which is connected to or facilitating a period of Arivia, even in the Mepharshim that we already saw. Of course, another possibility of like the mitzvah Lagaresh, the place to draw the line, would be this question, if it exists, of get me'ahava. Right? In other words, we still have to examine it more fully, but, Maram Lublin and Lavush, and the Netziv actually in his Perish Al HaTorah, I believe, Hamek Dabar, I think the Netziv says, tries to be medayik in the language of Psukim in Kiteitze, I think he argues, which is very interesting, that Vishilcha, all things being equal, when the Torah uses the term Vishilcha, typically, is a rishus, typically is, has a positive connotation, sorry. So I think he points out, maybe I'll bring it in tomorrow, that there are really two lishonos here, and I think he also makes the suggestion that one is for Gerushin Me'ava, and the other one is, Gerushin Misin. Obviously, influenced by, again, these, Poskim who really thought that there was such a category. So if we're talking about, you know, mitzvah lagaresh, you know, where do you draw the line is basically what I'm asking. What about Chayvei Lavin? What about Sota? What about, you know, for the sake of Piri Varivya? What about the sake of protecting the interests of the Isha? You know, could that be the mitzvah? And indeed, Rabbi Yochanan Fischel Perlo in Sefer Mitzvot Sanhedrin, that very long essay that he has, which is really, really interesting, and others, and then Siv that I mentioned, they kind of suggest that they're, you know, the mitzvah legaresh would be, you know, limited not only to cases where, you know, it's exactly polar opposite of what we've been discussing, right? The polar opposite, you know, we've been saying, oh, there's a mitzvah legaresh because there are lavin involved, or there are, you know, there's a, you know, toxic environment of sota, you know, etc. Or there's, you know, l'shem piri v'rivya. I guess the closest to l'shem piri v'rivya in a way would be, you know, to free her so she wouldn't have to be, you know, tipo kame yavam, or she wouldn't be, you know, a safek, you know, aguna, like if he was going somewhere, you know, that was fraught with danger. Again, it's a little hard to believe that, I mean, I think this is what Brooklyn Pressure Perlow is saying for Rav Sajagon, but again, you have to understand that, you know, Rav Sajagon's Sefer Mitzvos, you know, to use the same word I used before, is very gnomic. Meaning it's if you read, you know, if you read Rav Brooklyn Pressure Perlow, it's just like it's an entertaining and an amazing work, because he has, you know, such interesting ideas and his analysis of other things, but the actual words of Rav Sajagon, you know, that the whole thing is based on, you know, is very, very ambiguous. Very, very. I mean, Rabbi Chofeshul Perl will be the first person to admit it. And the perushim that he suggests sometimes are mikatzel akatzel, you know, from one extreme, you know, to the other. But he really believes on some level that, you know, maybe according to Rav Sajagon, the mitzvah legaresh is the case. First of all, he assumes that there is such a halos. He assumes that it's, you know, not just, you know, modna, you know, levush, or you know, a very shitas yachid, you know, maram lublin, or whatever. But this is no. It's like, you know, everybody holds this way. You know, it's an interesting phenomenon. He thinks it's a way more mainstream idea. And then it's also, even from there, you know, not only is it a chalos that's more accepted than you think, but that's, you know, maybe what we mean by the mitzvah lagaresh. Could you have like a mitzvah lagaresh, you know, which was like really constructive like that, alongside a mitzvah lagaresh, you know, when everything went south and sour? That's also an interesting question. Okay. So I'm asking more questions than I'm solving. That's okay. We can't do it all in one shot, and also some of the information is spotty. But these are different places to draw the line. And then, of course, the question becomes, for Beis Shammai, or if there's Chayvei Lavin, or if there's, you know, a Gerushin Me'ava scenario, you know, to say that those are mitzvos, you know, and again, I mean according to, you know, Eminyan mitzvos, Gerushin mitzvos, not just, you know, Hilchos Deos mitzvah, not like the Rambam's formulation of either mitzvah or Iser, you know, in Perek Yod Hilchos Gerushin, which clearly is not minyan mitzvahs and so on, but I mean, like, you know, the discussions of the, you know, of the smak, you know, and the rivash and the rajba and Abu Dram and so on and so forth. To say all of that, you know, we're trying to figure out where do you draw the line. But what would you say for Rabbi Akiva and for, you know, Beis Hillel? Would you ever characterize, you know, Hikdicha Tavshilo or Matzlisha Nahemena, you know, as grounds, you know, not just for divorce, that's clear that he holds that way, that they hold that way, you know, but of mitzvah legarish. And like, how could that be? So, for example, Lecha Mishnah uses that expression. We'll get to it in just a minute. In Hilchos Gerushin Perek Yud Halacha Chaf Beis, you know, he talks about Hikdicha Tavshilo as mitzvah legarish too. So again, the more, you know, is there such a big fall off between, you know, Beis Shammai's grounds and Rabbi Akiva and and Beis Hillel, or you know, you could ask us separately about Rabbi Akiva and Beis Hillel, as we discussed. I mean, fundamentally, is it, you know, all three are, you know, heterim legaresh, and none of them are mitzvos? You know, or all three are, you know, mitzvos, you know, mamish. So, Beis Shammai, again, very clear explanation. What would be the explanation of Rabbi Akiva, you know, and Beis Hillel, if we were called that a mitzvah? But it goes back to what we were, you know, discussing, you know, what I keep saying is like an expansion of Erev HaTzavah in a way. Namely, if you don't look at it as just heter or you know, it's a kinyan, what can you do? It's, you know, it's volitional, it's bechirai, you know, by, you know, by virtue of how it was created or what it needs to be, or as an investment or as a kinyan, you know, but as a way of guaranteeing, right, the quality of the interaction and the relationship, you know, that it remains a davar shebekdusha, you know, because there's an exit, or because, you know, it remains, you know, a matter of choice, or, and if, you know, the hikdicha tafshilo and the, or the, you know, in Matzah Isha Noah Heimena, if they refer to some substantive, really problematic, you know, atmosphere in the marriage, I mean, it doesn't just mean the whim of hikdicha tafshilo, you know, or the whim of Matzah Isha Noah Heimena in a, or in a superficial way, you know, but it really, you know, reflects, you know, hilchos deos, you know, behavior and the relationship and the environment, then it becomes a possibility that these are mitzvah. Or, as I said before, if it's, you know, if it reflects a poisonous environment, you know, not because if you don't give people a choice they feel trapped, and that has its own corrosive impact, but as I said before, because if these are the things that really occur within the context of a marriage, so that betokens, that, you know, reflects that it's really a toxic, you know, a marriage to begin with, and therefore to safeguard the standards, not in the same way of, like, you know, you have to give people their choice, because otherwise you're going to, you know, engender resentment and let their imagination, you know, of alternatives that they don't actually have to confront on a realistic level, you know, not that, but what I've been saying, you know, that is, if truly somebody wants to divorce for such frivolous reasons, you know, then can that be a mitzvah? It could. Right. Okay, so having said all this, but of course it's, you know, and again, you might be mechalik between Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva in either direction. Who fund this man? Okay, so let's start with Beis Shammai quickly. I'm going to stop in a minute anyway, but so the question with Beis Shammai, even with Beis Shammai, is, you know, this is Drabbanan, Daraisa, it's a mitzvah, a chova, what exactly is it? That's question number one. Question number two in Beis Shammai is, like, what are the parameters of Matzabah, you know, Ervas, Dava? Are we talking about actual Sota, or are we expanding it? I don't mean what I said before, which, although I do also, meaning, like, what about other, you know, Chayvei Lavin, you know, issues or other facilitations of the rib? That's a good question to ask. Like, if we could interview Beis Shammai, we would want to ask him, like, what do you think about those other cases? And are they Huadin? Are they Kol Shekein? Are they, Zu Vein Tzorach Lomar Zu? We would want to ask him that. But I don't mean that at the moment. What I mean at the moment is, you know, what do you mean by, you know, Erev HaTzavah? You know, something that is in the level of, like, you know, behavior unbecoming, you know, even betrayal in a way, you know, conduct, but that falls short of Isur Sota, you know, would that be included, you know, as well? So here, of course, we touch on, I'll just start with this and then we'll try to finish up, you know, the issue of the Yerushalmi. Okay? So what exactly, Shai? What's the Yerushalmi again?
Whether the kasha about Sota isn't every time you divorce, so it's Sota.
And therefore?
And it's a redundant, the Masu Grishoso is a redundant thing.
Correct. The Masu Grishoso is in the Parsha of Gerushin, right? You know, that's the, and it's even as we were noting the Mefarshim say, based on the pashtus of the psukim, it's actually the, you know, the climax of it. It sounds like everything is, you know, working up to that. That's what we're trying to explain. But according to Beis Shammai, this should never be, that's Yerushalmi's question. You have the language? Shai, go ahead. There should never be a hechatimtzi of Maksa Grushalsa. Or it shouldn't need the hechatimtzi. Either there should be no hechatimtzi. The Yerushalmi's question is, what do you need it for?
Amar Bishila Bikfar Tamarta, Kiraya Makshe al de Beis Shammai. Lo Yucha Baila Rishon Asher Shilchala Shilakachta, Manu Mekaimin. Imla Osra Alav, Varhi Asuralo. And the solution is,
So that there also seem to be two girsos, right? It's a, what is Hilsa's quote?
This is Baselab.
Lavra of a Baselab. So we'll have to talk about that a little bit also. So the simple reading of the Yerushalmi, Shai, is that the Yerushalmi is saying, what, you know, why do you need Matzah Grushaso? It's always superfluous. There's a more core problem here, right? Namely,
right.
Matzir Sotaso. So that question, you know, presupposes what?
It seems to be that he can't, it's not, the Gershon's not going to be chal if he does it be'isser.
Ah, so that's an interesting point. Is that really so true? So that is like a debate. If you look, I think I mentioned the Pnei Yoshua before, and I said, I'll get back to this is one of the things that Pnei Yoshua discusses. Is it implicit in Beis Shammai that absent Matzah Ba'ervas Davar, right, the Gerushin won't be Chal? Or this is all about, you know, the mitzvah or the heter? You know, maybe it's Osir Lagarish, and certainly not mitzvah Lagarish in any other way. You know, but does that mean the Gerushin? It's more of a chiddush to say that Beis Shammai is limiting the Chalos HaGerushin, clearly. Right? So we'll talk more about that. Is it really, so this is like, you know, a little bit of discussion in the acronym here. Is that, you know, so, is that so postured? A little bit, that's what the Rajba, you know, the Chidusha Rajba, I told you to look at in the Sugya, you know, also kind of relates, you know, to that question. I think the Rajba, if I'm not taken. Everybody have the language of the Rajba here?
It's on the board.
Okay. Shai, go ahead.
Okay, so we close the Rishali first, Amar Bishila, etc. And then he says, Lefum Mai Da Sikna. So therefore, near it, let's rechinan leukmuha belav vease. Elodim avar vegirsha tehe asura lachsor lo. So I think he's saying,
he's quoting somebody, right? Or what you could have said.
According to our Gemara with, was that Rav Papa and Rav?
So number one, he's assuming that that line in the Gemara is Aliba de Beis Shammai.
Right. Or at
which, as we saw, which you already know, right, that when Baruch read it, he read it that way too. But Rashi actually says that that line is according to Beis Hillel.
Right.
So that's a dimension of the Rashbash also, the Rashba, the Rashbash. They say that it's Aliba de Beis Shammai.
I could be saying it's a Filu Beis Shammai, right?
Yeah, that's fine. Right, that's right. Okay, but meaning it sounds what he's trying to get from there is what.
No matzah ba
lo erva ba lo davar begirsha ma'ida avan avad. You know, and therefore what b'di'eved it's still get.
Yeah.
So
then you could just say the iser of sota is if you did b'iser. I mean, sorry, the iser of matzah b'rishasa is the case of gershin b'iser, and you don't need to say shnei lavan or lavan.
Right. So. Well, that, but isn't it still Shnei Lavin? Or maybe he needs to say Shnei Lavin. Maybe the Gersa would have to be different then. Meaning, why doesn't he like Nieloma Kovar? Right? Debi'i Lo Mishtoi Kro. So actually, this is like, it's a little bit complicated, this whole business.
Yeah.
Well, he's making a ha'ara, like a bit of a, a pshuto shel mikra kind of a ha'ara, namely, the case of, I think this is what this last line means. What do you think it means?
He's saying, why would the pasuk make an iser machzik yourself so only for the case where you divorced her be'iser and you didn't follow like the protocol?
Or even, right, correct, but even more, that what the Torah describes in the psukim that are the run-up to Matzah Grushaso is where he divorced her because Matzah by Erva Zavar. Right? That's a little more than what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, your question's a good question, too. Like, you know, the Torah would, you know, only talk about that case and it wouldn't be Mavare. But he's saying more than that. He's saying the description of Matzah Grushaso is a case of Matzah by Erva Zavar, so there's already Sota there. Correct? But before that, it sounded like that he was telling you, he was saying two things. He was saying, well, if you hold that it's not b'niyeved, so you'll still have hechetimtzi. I mean, as opposed to, if you, what comes out of the Gemara is, if you didn't apply Beis Shammai to that line in the Gemara, you would think that Beis Shammai actually holds that it's not chal. Okay, that's mechudash. Okay, now I should just add, the Pnei Yoshua that I'm referring to says that notes this Rajba and says, you know, we find plenty of psukim in the Torah where it seems like the context, you know, is one way, you know, and you know the hemshech, you know, is really dafka, not or also another way, but maybe even dafka the other way. Anybody have the line there? I didn't tell you to look at it because I don't want so many little things to look at, but. If you look at the Pnei Yoshua, that's what he says. So it sounds like he's, you know, not even, like, convinced, you know, necessarily, you know, that this would be true. Point is that the Rajba is acknowledging the possibility that for Beis Shammai, these aren't just, you know, grounds for divorce that are appropriate, but that maybe they would be ma'akev. And depending, it's only because of this Gemara that we know they're not ma'akev. So that's in a way, he's trying to expand, you know, we'll see in a moment, the Tshuva Saraj was a little bit different, but by doing so, he's kind of implying, you know, a more restrictive even posture, what you could have said was a more restrictive posture in Beis Shammai. Okay. Some of the, when Rashi says, you know, the Gemara had the Havamina that according to Beis Hillel, maybe you could say if it's, you know, that according to Beis Shammai, the Chiddush of Davar Shebe'erva is, you know, is that it's Chal. Right? You know, Rashi says, there would always be an obligation, you know, of remarrying her. Maybe it wouldn't be Chal. I'm talking about what I mentioned before. When we first read the Gemara, Rashi said it would be the Omeid v'Hachzer. Yeah. So again, some of the Farshim say, well, "What do you mean Kaifina Leila Hadura?" Maybe the pshat in the Gemara was that it wouldn't be chal. Not kaifina li ladura. So this is an interesting question. Is there any possibility, and when the Gemara also says, you know, what will it be, you know, in the Papa, is there a possibility that if you don't have the proper grounds for divorce, that the ishus will persist, that you won't even b'dieved have again? That's what I'm trying to pin down. That's implied by the Rajba if you don't read the Gemara that way, which some people didn't. It could be the people who didn't still think that it's obvious that b'dieved it's chal, but not so pashut. Or that line in the beginning of the Gemara. Now the truth is, the Rajba rejects it for the reason that he rejects it. But you know, if you say you know lav or alav, you know belav, etc., you know there's still a question, right? It's the question of the Yerushalmi is how do you ever have maksir grushaso? Then the idea that maybe it isn't chal b'dieved is something, you know, very you know, much implicit, you know, in the comment. You know? But if the question is not, you know, how do you ever have moksha grushaso? You know, but why do you need moksha grushaso? That's a different kind of a question. Meaning every situation of moksha grushaso is already asur, you know, because of sota. Right? That's a different question. Then the issue that, if you say, then answer to that question, oh, but it doesn't matter, b'dyeved the gerushin is chal. Right? So what? The gerushin is chal, but there's still an isur sota. Right? And that's where, you know, you need some sort of an answer, maybe, you know, lav or lav b'lav, lav or lav b'shnei lavim. You know, we'll have to figure that one out still. Is there a suggestion, like implicitly, that there wouldn't be an isur sota? There's only an isur sota within the marriage? But if there really was a gerushin that was chal, there wouldn't be an isur sota because it would be a new marriage? Yeah.
If we're saying you can divorce for whatever reason,
yeah,
doesn't need to be in a kind of sota. If the yavid would be chal, it would be for whatever reason. There would be no sota whatsoever. That's what the Rashba suggests.
I'm saying that's sensational.
Why?
Meaning, is the question of Yerushalmi, you know, that is the question of Yerushalmi that, you know, what I'm saying is, let's say, is there a possibility? Is the question of the Yerushalmi how to read the psukim, or is the question of the Yerushalmi, you know, why do you ever need the Isur of Matsu Grushaso? There's always an Isur anyway. In which case, is there an Isur? We know that there's an Isur Sota within the marriage, right? And therefore, he's obligated to divorce her. If he would remarry, if he could have remarried her, the Heter. Would there still be an Isur Sota?
Why would we need to consider Isur Sota? Let's say he divorced her because it's Matzah Harish Naimana.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Beit Shammah. I'm saying within the world of Beit Shammah.
But B'di'evet for the Rashba, B'di'evet would be Chal. If B'di'evet is Chal, on that case, you need Masir Rishasa. But there's no Isur Sota. B'di'evet a non...
Yeah, no, that's for the Rashba. I understand that. No, that I understand. What I'm saying is, let's say we were to take the position that even if you, even according to, let's say it was Pashut, you know, to Beit Shammai, that, I'm saying, let's assume like the Raj, oh, I see what you're saying. It would be Matzah Isha Na Heimana, one second. Right. I mean, if you were to any, you'd completely extricate yourself from sota in that case.
Right, and on that case, you need a lav.
Right.
You don't know the lav otherwise, or any answer otherwise, but the sota didn't do anything wrong.
Okay. Yeah. No. Okay. So let's go back for a second, and okay. So that's the Rashba in the Chiddushim, and that's the question whether or not the question is from the, you know, from the context and the psukim of Matzah Ba'er Vastava. The question is whether you need Matzah Ba'er Vastavar. But either way, the question seems to be that it's superfluous because you have an Isur Sota in that case. Sorry, you're right. Yeah.
Doesn't the question really just ask depend on how you understand Master Sota Sobeheter?
Say that again?
Master Grusha Sobeheter? If you think that you're lapsing back into the original marriage, then it's obvious that...
I was raising a different question. I think you're relating to that, right? Namely, is there an Isur... Is it so clear that there's an Isur Sota in a situation, let's say there was no Isur Masu Grishasa. Now I was trying to give a fancier or like a different answer relating to a question which I don't know the answer to. Meaning, the Pashtos, the Isur Sota applies, you know, once it's an Isur Sota, then, you know, she's Asur Lo Leolam, just like she's Asur Le Boel, you know, Leolam, right? They have no marital relationship. That's the whole point. She can't go and marry the Boel now, right? Could she marry the Baal in a different marriage? That's the question I'm raising. You're suggesting, well, it depends how you look at, you know, Masa Grishasa Beheter, let's say. You know, is that lapsing or is that going back? Right. I'm saying even more. I'm saying, let's say there was no Isur Masa Grishasa even be Isur, right? Even then, you know, might there be an end to the Isra Sota.
Again, if you don't think that it's an Echad Leval and Echad Leboel, but rather something within the context of the original marriage, then it will depend on...
Right, that's what I'm asking. I'm saying you're saying if you had Masu Gushasa Leheter, and that was elapsing back into the marriage, then surely there has to be an Isra Sota. But if it's something new, then maybe not. But that's in a case where it's even... where we have the din of Matsu Gushaso, the Isur, which is Asur, and Beheter, which is Mutter, right? And even then, we're trying to, figure, that's the answer is, we know that wouldn't work. But what I'm saying is, getting to the answer to the question of Yerushalmi saying, according to Beit Shammai, what do you need, Matsir Gushaso? There's always an Isur Sota. And what I'm saying is that assumes that the Isur Sota would apply to a new marriage, between the parties, if there was no Isur, even if they're in a situation where there was no Isur Matsur Rishaso at all. Now, you could have answered the... Do you understand what I'm saying? You could have answered the Rishalmi's question by saying, if there wasn't... an Isur of Machzir Grushaso, maybe there wouldn't be an Isur Sota. Right? Because it's a new marriage.
Is there assuming that the difference... The
unless you think it would always have been a lapsing. But I'm talking about even if there was an in-between marriage.
Are the two possibilities in how you would view Machzir Grushaso, Beheter, dependent on the existence of...
Of an Isur? Maybe.
Oh,
I mean, that's what I was kind of suggesting the other day also, that maybe the lapsing idea is because that's the only way that you can have the Isur. But if that wasn't really true, because you could have it even when there was no... I'm going to explain this in a second, so I'm a little bit getting off field. But, yeah, I think that might be a difference.
It could be that conception still exists even if the Isur wouldn't have existed. I mean, the fact that the Isur exists...
Could be. Yeah, I'm suggesting it might be different.
Would that be a saying a lot also in the rest of it?
You mean that's in the lav of Sota?
Yeah.
I mean, it certainly the lav of Sota, maybe not. Maybe the assay, right. You're saying. Maybe. Because they still have two psukim, two partials. I hear that.
So
just to make it clear, okay, I'll stop here, but hopefully we'll finish with this Tuesday. But let's start with this on Tuesday. We're just trying to figure out we're trying to figure out the parameters of Beisham, okay? So let's just sum up just for a second. So the idea that, according to Beit Shammai, much more qualitatively, much easier than for Beis Hillel or Rabbi Akiva, that this, is a mitzvah lagarish and means the mitzvah lagarish, and that it's not just an Eitzah Tova, but that it is, a din in Gerushin and the Ishus itself, is very compelling and reasonable. I don't think it's mukhrach. You could still, be a holdout with that. But and of course, this is all assuming that it isn't just an Eitzah Tova. I should mention, everybody should hopefully see the Mishnah Melech and Perikin Halacha Chaf Beis. Mishnah Melech has a long piece. He quotes, I think, the Knesset HaGedola, which says, you should look at it either way, the whole Shaka Vitaria there. I think I gave it on the Marpomos. So that's Perikin Halacha, Chaf Beis. So, the Knesset HaGedola said, all the Mandamrim in the Mishnah are Eitzah Tova. The Mishnah Melech's own view is that all the Mandamrim in the Mishnah are mitzvah. And what I'm suggesting is that it's very logical to say that for Beis Shammai it's a mitzvah, and for Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva maybe it's a heter, depending on how you understand what they're saying and what is needed. Okay, so within that, I was asking, let's assume the Knesset Gdola downplays even Beis Shammai, fine. But the pashtus is that Beis Shammai certainly is speaking about more than an Eitzah Tova and more than a Hilchos Deos Halacha. Maybe, sounds like a Gerushin halacha. The question is, do we paskin like Beis Shammai ever? And if it's only Bezivuk Rishon and not Bezivuk Sheni, does that take, a lot of the sting out of Beis Shammai anyway, which we still need to get back to. Fine. Then within that I was saying, and according to Beis Shammai, what about some other, halachic issues like Chai Lavin? And what about facilitating Piriya Berivya? And what about L'Shem Abba? What would you think about those things? Open question. Next. Does Beis Shammai ever, is it possible that Beis Shammai thinks that this is all b'diavad you know, even it's there's no chalos gerushin. So that seems to be an interesting discussion. The pashtus of most, you know, views is that for Beishamai, b'diavad the get will be chal. That's certainly what the Rajma's saying. Was there even a havamin in the Gemara otherwise? You know, and is it even possible that it's still otherwise? Some achronim think that in Beishamai, it's possible that there is no gerushin whatsoever. And that's very radical, but that's very interesting. I mean, there's a certain force of logic to it, meaning, you know, you need to, as long as the ishus has not been compromised, you know, the gerushin is just not chal. That's a very strong view, but I don't think it's a mainstream view at all. It's like a minority view, but it's an interesting view. Okay. Then the next point is, you know, what about this Yerushalmi asking, you know, how compatible is Maksa Grushaso and Beisham? Right. And Bepashtus, you know, what they're asking is, you know, there's always an Iser Sota. There are certain assumptions in this question. Okay. One is that Beishamai, you know, is limited to actual cases of Sota. Okay. Even the chatchila, meaning matzav erbas davar, meaning it doesn't apply to kiyur and an expanded, you know, view. That is, you know, that's where the tshuva sarajba comes in. We'll talk about that a little more next time. Tshuva sarajba says the answer to the Yerushalmi's question, not the Yerushalmi's answer, but an answer to the Yerushalmi's question, is that Beis Shammai didn't only say sota, right? Beis Shammai expands to kiyur. He understands that on the top of Tzadi Yomad Beis, when the Gemara extends to, you know, Das Yehudis or things like that, you know, less than Sota, that's Beis Shammai also. And others disagree. Okay, clearly, Tosus and the Yerushalmi that asked the question disagree. They think for Beis Shammai, it's more limited. Right? You would never, I don't think you'd ever say, you know, you have to divorce, you know, Mishum Kiyor, you know, and if you don't, it's not chal. I think, you know, once you lose the strict Davar Sheberva, saying that it's also, you know, ma'ake b'dieved, probably, I'm guessing, but it's an intelligent guess, you lose that. But anyways, so that's one question. How expansive is Beis Shammai? Another question that I'm raising is, like, is it so pashut that the Iser Sota would apply if there was no Iser, you know, Machzir Grushasa? Like, could you, you know, because, again, say like this. If there's an Iser Machzir Grushasa, and this is kind of what you were saying, then even when there's a heter, you know, of Machzir Grushasa, you know, seeing it as kind of a lapsing back into the marriage, you know, is a reasonable, you know, idea. And maybe, you know, because otherwise, you know, it's Machzir Grushasa, you know. So, but if there was no, in a world where there was no Machzir Grushasa, which is kind of what Beis Shammai said, what do you need it for, according to Beis Shammai, right? So maybe in such a world, we would look at a marriage, you know, where it's Machzir Grushasa, as a totally different, totally new marriage. And if we did that, would there be an Iser Sota? That's the question I'm raising. Now, the Iser Leboel, you know, of course, you know, goes outside, even once she's divorced, etc. But that's because the relationship to the Boel, you know, he's the homewrecker. He still is the homewrecker, you know. But it's very, you know, in general, there's a lot of questions about, you know, Echad Baal, Echad the Boel, you know, when we're mechalik between them. For example, Akum, right? You know, is Bias Akum may not be, he may not be a Boel in terms of Isa the Boel. That's the debate, you know, that's the whole discussion with Rabbeinu Tam and so on and so forth. But it's very possible, many Rishonim say, Bias Akum ki Bias Behema, therefore there's no Iser Boel, never mind the Kekat and Chinolad, but for a moment, but an Iser Lebal there is. Why? Because the whole idea of the Iser Lebal is, you know, the betrayal of the marriage. Right. So the Boel is the home wrecker, he's still a home wrecker, you know, for what he did, which was inexcusable, and we shouldn't Chote Niska, we don't want them, you know, to continue this relationship. It's an illicit relationship because of the way that it began. But is that true for a second marriage to the same person if there's no concept of Matzah Grushasa? That's what I'm asking. It's implicit in the Yerushalmi that the answer is it doesn't make a difference. And I'm suggesting that that might have been a way to answer the Yerushalmi. Just like the Rajba is answering the Yerushalmi, rejecting an assumption of the Yerushalmi. Okay? Great. There are other ways to answer the Yerushalmi, and maybe this is what the Yerushalmi itself is saying, and that is that even if it's true that there's no hechatimtzi where you don't violate sota and therefore you can't get remarried, you know, what do we mean when he says, you know, lav or balav or lav or, you know, bishne lavin? Maybe the idea really is, and this goes to our Maksik Rishasa point, this we'll finish today, is that in a chanami there would be aser, but it's a different iser completely. Meaning, do you look at Maksik Rishasa as kind of an isure biya? That goes to the question that, you know, we have to come back to, but we already mentioned. The Rambam did a Maksik Rishasa in Ilchas Geirush. He could have just as easily, you know, put it in Hilchos Ishus, or especially in Hilchos Isurei Biyah. If he had put it in Isurei Biyah, then the Yerushalmi's question, I think, would be a harder question. You know, what we're saying is, you know, there's an Isurei Biyah, therefore there's no marriage, you know, in Sota. You know, but, so what do we need the Maksik Rishasa for? Right? However, and then if you want to answer like lav or lav, belav or lav or bishnayim, it's more of like a technical answer. You know, you get, you know, quantitatively more punishment. But if the idea is that Maksik Rishasa is a din in the institution of Geirushin and not playing musical Geirushin or musical Ishus, right, then even if it's true that you can't be chozer, you know, to the Baal or Rishon, and if you do, you're in violation of the Issa Sota, right? There's still, conceptually, a very important reason to have the Issa of Maksik Rishasa. Because that's a whole different Yesod. It's a completely different Mechayim. Is that the idea behind Lav or Labishne Lavin? Maybe. I mean, Rabbi Kiveger on the side of the Gemara, on the side here, in, you know, Drush V'Chiddush, I'm sorry, Drush V'Chiddush, I mean in the Gilyan Nashas, you know, talks about you know, the problem of Ein Iser Chal Al Iser, right? You know, where's the Mosif? Where's the Kolel? Where's the... But maybe this is kind of the issue. Okay, so stop here. There are a few other examples of that. And then we still need to pin down a little more Beis Shammai, much more Rabbi Kiva and Beis Hillel, but we're getting there. Okay.